Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're joined by Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. If you need a hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, the weekly podcast available on Radio.com. Mike, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Michael, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you guys?
Excellent.
We're outstanding. We're dreaming of Trevor Lawrence. Let's start with the Patriots, though. Is this the end of the Patriots as we know them? I mean, what we saw yesterday when the Niners, like I kept saying all day, imposed their will on them. What is New England right now?
A bad team. I mean, you know, they have to admit where they are. I think part of the problem most teams have is not willing to accept where they are. I mean, after week two, I thought Cam was playing really well and was going to get better. But since that point, you know, they have struggled. Yesterday, they struggled mightily on defense. I mean, the score was 33-6, but it could have been 53-6. It was really not that close. And, you know, they don't look fast on offense. They don't look fast on defense. They didn't tackle very well in the game yesterday. They didn't play like a team that was had practiced like they did the week before. I mean, against Denver, they looked the same way. So, look, they've got a lot of work to do. You know, I think they are definitely a team in transition. They've got a lot of younger players on the team that need to step up and play better, and we'll see where that goes. But I think it starts with the quarterback. The one thing they've always done since Coach Belichick has been there is they've usually protected the football. They've avoided losing before they start winning. And now they're second in the National Football League in turning the ball over, which is not going to get it done.
You know, you look at this division. You know, you mentioned that the Patriots look like a bad team. The Buffalo Bills, if they're not playing the Jets, probably lose their third straight game. I mean, they did not look overly impressive in their win. And then you got this Dolphin team that's played well. They've won 3 out of 4, and they make the quarterback change. This division feels winnable. You know, it's the first time in forever where I'm like, man, God, you can take this division. Do you think Tua gives the Dolphins a better chance to win than Ryan Fitzpatrick moving forward?
Short term, probably not. Long term, yes. I mean, I think, you know, you guys watched that Jet game. Ryan Fitzy was trying to be Fitzy. He was trying to give the Jets some help there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you had to, even if you took the Dolphins and the points, you were nervous in that game because he threw an interception in the red zone, another one. He just never looked in the second half. He never looked like – he looked comfortable. And – you know, look, we've seen the good of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we've all seen the bad of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we've seen the middle. And I think where Brian Flores is, if he thinks he's going to get – this is going to come down to a December, who's playing the best football in December, he probably feels like I need the most talented player I have at quarterback to be playing that position.
Very interesting, no doubt about it. How about the situation right now in Dallas, Michael? I mean, you know, obviously it seems like a mutiny going on with McCarthy. Obviously, Andy Dalton gets hurt again yesterday, the Dak injury. But it looks really bad right now in Dallas. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, they don't look well coached. I mean, anytime you give up 200 yards rushing in consecutive games, I think they've given it up 4 games. They haven't covered a spread all year, guys. I mean, they haven't really been, other than the opener, you know, where they were competitive in that game. They haven't been competitive at all. I mean, really, you know, I know they beat the Giants. They fumble. They kind of work their way in against the Falcons to jump on the football. But I mean, this is a bad team playing poorly, playing with no effort, really playing with no continuity, no communication. And it starts on defense. And then offensively, you know, they don't really have any sense of rhythm. You know, they've got some really good players. They're a talented team. They're a talented group of players, but they're not playing like a talented team. I mean, they give up over 5.2 yards. They've given up 16 touchdown passes already this season. I mean, it's really remarkable, and you can convert third downs at a 50% clip against them. I mean, they're fortunate. They've given up 243 yards. You know, when Belichick and Nick Saban were in Cleveland in 1994, 16-game season, they gave up 204 yards. This Cowboy team's already given up 243, and we're only played seven games.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but would they fire Mike McCarthy? I mean, we've saw Jerry Jones a few years ago, more than a few years ago, make a coaching change in the middle of the year and actually work. That's when Jason Garrett took over and they actually played good football. Is that possible that it's gotten so bad that Jerry may blow it up even before the season's even over?
You know, I think there's, if you're Mike Nolan, you got to be worried. I mean, you know, that defensive staff, it just gives up yards at an unbelievable clip. I mean, 11 touchdowns rushing, 5.2 yards a carry by the opponent. You know, they can't stop anybody. I mean, you've given up 243 points. Think about that. You know, and you haven't played, you know, you've played Atlanta, you've played the Brownies. I mean, the Giants, you guys know the Giants offense. I mean, seriously, against air, the Giants offense would be lucky to score 40 points. Without competition out there, they would make some mistakes. And they put 34 on them.
That's true.
Who wins that division? Philadelphia, in your mind?
You know, if Rivera doesn't go for two and kicks the field goal, he's in the driver's seat. You know, he's going to win that game eventually, right? I mean, Washington's played all three teams. They really, in a sense, they've beaten all three teams. I know the Giants have the one victory. You got to think Philadelphia, but Philadelphia, I mean, with 6 minutes to go, the Giants are winning that game if Evan Ingram makes the one catch.
Right, right.
You know, if they can just make a play down the stretch on defense, I mean, it's bad. Whoever wins is really, you know, it's the lesser of all evils because none of them are any good. The Washington football team, if they get some offensive help back, at least their defensive front can control some of the game. I mean, they dominated the Cowboys. They just dominated the Cowboys. You know, the Giants struggled to move the ball. They had 13 points on offense against them. They had to pick up the fumble for the 20th. So, and then they dominated Philly in the opener. So they could actually find a way to win this thing if they could not make as many mistakes. And they're one of the worst. You think the Giants are bad on offense. Washington's worse in almost every statistical category than the Giants.
Yeah, yesterday it looked like they got something with Antonio Gibson. I mean, he had a hell of a game, went for over 100 yards, rushed for a touchdown. So maybe they have something with him getting the opportunity now.
I mean, the Dallas is the Northwestern of the Big Ten. I mean, if you want to look good against a team, you line up against Dallas, right?
You know what? That's like fair. You're right.
Every back's going to be good looking against that. I mean, when you give up that many yards rushing, I mean, they've given up over 1,200 yards rushing in seven games.
Yeah.
I think Northwestern actually just put 43 on Maryland, so maybe you want to go.
I take that back. Maybe I might want to go with Maryland. On
right?
That
maybe, yeah. Even Rutgers. Even Rutgers won.
No, I never would touch my man Siano. No, my man Siano's going to get that turned around. Don't you worry about
He's
that.
He's off to a hell of a start.
Hey, man. What a win they had against Michigan State! Are you kidding me?
Don't be surprised. He's a good coach. You know,
no, he is.
Just because some things don't work out in the NFL, you know, the reason he's not coaching at Tampa is because Josh Freeman was supposed to be the franchise. Wonder where Josh Freeman is right now.
Yeah. I think of that quarterback draft, Mark Sanchez, Josh Freeman. Those, I think, were the two first quarterbacks off the board that year, if memory serves correct. Both are not in the NFL, obviously.
Obviously.
I'm curious, when you look at the NFC, the AFC North right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they feel like it's almost amazing that this is the best start that they've had in 40 years. It's almost tough to imagine. And that was a great battle with Tennessee. I mean, the Titans obviously showed a lot of fight coming back. But the Steelers have a huge test coming up on Sunday against the Ravens. And even the Browns are 5-2. What do you make of the AFC North right now?
Well, look, I think there's a couple teams, you know, in the AFC. Tennessee and Seattle are the same team. Both can't play defense at all. Tennessee gives up over 50% on third down. Tennessee can't stop a running game to save their life. Tennessee's as bad a defense as you can be. Now, everybody talks about, oh, they got Clowney. Clowney's the most overpaid player in the National Football League. He's got six pressures, no sacks. He doesn't make any plays, yet, you know, the media talks about how he's changing the game. He's not changing anything, not changing a thing. Tennessee's defense and Seattle's defense are both bad. They win with their offense. Arthur Smith has done a really good job of running this Tennessee offense. They don't forget who they are. They keep their identity all throughout the game. They've got playmakers, guys that are hard to tackle on offense, whether it's Henry, A.J. Brown, whomever. Tannehill has been really good for them. And they're tough to play. And the Steelers, to me, are one of those teams like Baltimore. Steelers are complete. They're really good on defense. And they've got enough offense, especially when Claypool's in there and they're operating with their receiver and Ben's doing what he did yesterday. Now, albeit Tennessee's not a good team, Pittsburgh's pass defense at times is going to be questionable if they can't get there. Tennessee, Taylor Lewan's injury, the left tackle, losing him, that I think that really affects them. But for me, the North, I think Pittsburgh's the most complete team. Baltimore getting Ndokwe helps them in their pass rush. Now I don't think they have to run all those overload pressures. They can rush five and use their corners to cover. They just have to get better offensively. Their run game isn't the same as it was last year, and Lamar Jackson isn't playing as well as he did last year in the passing game. When Baltimore gets behind in a game, if Baltimore would have been behind to Pittsburgh 24-7 like Tennessee was, they would have never been able to come back.
Right,
Tennessee
right.
can play that way.
All right, how good are the Bucs? They're 5-2. They got all these weapons now for Brady. Brady looked terrific against the Raiders yesterday. Antonio Brown looks like he's on his way. How good is Tampa right now?
Well, I think the untold secret of what made Tampa really good so far is their offensive line. I mean, their offensive line has really, really played well. I mean, the Raiders couldn't even get close to it.
No. Yeah,
the Raiders
right.
couldn't even
you're
get right. close. Brady looked like he was 28. He didn't look like he was 43. He looked like he was 28 yesterday. So he threw the ball effectively. He's got weapons all over the place, and he made plays. So, you know, I mean, when they do that, and then Todd Bowles is so good on defense. He's so good at being able to pressure and take away what you do. I mean, typically the Raiders, they want to hold the ball 34 minutes. They want to be really good on third down. And yet yesterday, that's what the Bucs stopped them from doing. They only had the ball 28 minutes. They dominated the fourth quarter, scored 21 points. I think the Bucs are a tough team. They're balanced. They're one of those teams that have a really good defense, and their offense is really good. So they're going to be hard to play.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. You mentioned Arthur Smith before. We've talked a lot about Eric Bieniemy. Obviously, we are game planning here in New York who's going to be the next head coach of the Jets. And we're kind of analyzing who should replace Adam Gase. Give us a couple of names, you know, besides Bieniemy, who I think is the hottest name out there, on a couple of guys to keep an eye on who you think could be in that next class of head coaches and can be successful as a head coach.
Well, I think that's a great question. I mean, look, I think what the Jets need more than anything is if they don't just need a coach. I think they need somebody to come in and help them build culture. I think they need somebody to come in and help them establish some credibility with them. I would certainly look towards the college ranks if I were them. You know, I mean, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Now, you're going to say, well, this guy's never coached in pro football. Well, Matt Rhule had a year. I think you need somebody to build a program at the Jets. And if you don't go to a pro – if you get a pro coordinator – you know, then all of a sudden you're worried about who's going to coach the defense, who's going to coach the special teams. I think what the Jets need more than anything is a program. I think they need a program. I think they need a guy who understands how to build a program with culture involved. Now, obviously, if you know, certainly you would want to call Dabo Swinney, see if he'd have any interest in coaching in pro football. But I think the way the pro game has changed so much, I think building a program is critical. And the guys in college, they actually know how to do it. And there's a lot of good young coaches in college that have, you know, that have the ability to come into the league. And college is a harder job than the NFL. I mean, look, the college jobs are, you know, the recruiting and all that, but there's some really bright coaches, whether it's Ryan Day at Ohio State. There's a lot of those guys that you should talk to see if they would actually have an interest, because what you get with those guys is you get a head coach. And I think more than anything, the Jets need a head coach. They need a leader of their organization, someone who's going to be able to demand from the players, demand from the organization, who is the spokesman for the organization.
How much longer do we have to deal with Adam Gase? Tell me. I mean, how many games do they have to lose before finally the owner says, okay, that's it, I got to get this guy
He's
out
doing
of here.
His job. Stop. Leave him. They're going to.
Yeah, but
I don't
you know what, though?
Everybody wants them fired.
Mike, you know what, Mike?
Cry
I understand.
When you don't get Trevor Lawrence.
Michael, I get it,
but
you got to understand one thing. I have no confidence in this owner. I could see this owner saying, "Ah, you know what? Let's go forward with Gase." I just don't trust the owner.
I don't see him doing that. I mean, he knows. He reads the papers. He's got things going on. But I will say this. I mean, I don't know why. Look, Who are you going to turn it over to that's going to turn it around? It's bad.
I don't expect it to be turned. I just want to know Gaze is gone. Do you know what I mean, Mike?
I think everybody knows that's happening. You might as well just get through the season. I think that's the only thing that really matters is get through the season and let it kind of play out and then go from there. But I don't know why everybody wants them to be fired. Where are they going to go? And then all of a sudden you're down there like Atlanta's trying to win games, trying to do this. And, you know, Atlanta needs a reconstruction on their team.
Yes,
buddy.
Yes.
In all seriousness, do you really think that Joe Douglas and Christopher Johnson are keeping Adam Gase because they're like, yeah, this
you
is
think
perfect.
That's the
we
reason?
Just want to keep losing. Like, is that really
no,
why?
No, I think they're keeping him because what's the alternative? What is the alternative?
Probably just promoting someone from the staff. I mean, Jim Bob Cooter or Greg Williams is just promoting someone.
I mean, I'm going to hire. Then I got to go through that. I got to go through, you know, then we're going to start changing. Like, look, this is where we are. I think it's not baseball. You can't change managers in the year and really have it work out. And then here's what also happens, what no one wants to talk about. It's the substitute teacher. You get it. It's like when we were kids, you go to school, substitute today. Okay, here we go. Let's all hang out. When you fire Gase, then you basically told the players they're really not accountable. It was his fault. And so now all of a sudden nobody really cares about the meeting. There's no one in charge. When you go to an interim coach, you got to almost say, hey, this guy's coming. This guy's going to be here next year. Raheem Morris is working to get that job next year.
Right.
And that's what Atlanta wants. You know, Romeo Crennel's an old sage. They have too much respect for him. They're not going to go on him. But you all of a sudden change and you put Jim Bob Cooter in there. Nobody's going to sit there and say, okay, Jim Bob, what do we want to do? You're not going to be here next year. You're babysitting. You're substitute.
But doesn't that lead to the same? But doesn't that lead to the same result you're talking about, which is 0-16,
right?
Yeah.
What's that?
Same result.
Same result. Well, I don't know. You never know. I mean, they're not going to beat very many teams, but I think to me, when you let the players have a substitute teacher, then there could be other problems that aren't happening right now that we don't know about.
Do you, when you have heard from what you've seen and heard about Trevor Lawrence, how hot of a prospect is it? I mean, is this really a generational talent? Is this, you know, the quarterback prospect that you get once every 15 years? I mean, it's tough because Clemson faces nobody. So when you watch him, I mean, part of the problem in watching just as a fan is the competition. But kind of give us a sense of what you think Trevor Lawrence is going to be at the next level.
I mean, I think he's better than Andrew Luck was. I think there's no doubt in my mind he was better than Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck had the label that he was John Elway coming out. You know, I thought Andrew Luck threw a lot of balls into questionable areas. I thought you could watch a pro tape of Andrew Luck. He could have had twice as many interceptions if guys would have caught it when he played. I think Andrew Luck's a really good player. I think he was a blue-chip player. I didn't think he was Elway coming out. I think this kid is a generational talent. He can win with his feet. He can win with his arm. And he can win with his mind. What Joe Burrow is doing is wonderful in Cincinnati, and this kid's better, much better than Joe Burrow.
0-16. Let's go. Keep Gase. You're right. I want Gase the whole. Michael, you're right. Gase. Keep
him. Then we'll have a parade down Bloomfield Avenue. We can bring all the Soprano characters out. We can celebrate Trevor Lawrence.
You got to get me a coach, though, Mike. And you really are high on these college guys? I mean, these college guys scare the hell out of me, these college guys, Mike.
Now,
come on.
I think if you give them a program and they understand what it takes, you got to get somebody that can relate to the millennials. We're dealing with millennials. We're dealing with these kids. They're not easy. You know, it's not like the old days where, you know, it's a different group and you got to understand who can relate to them and who can have a conversation with them. And then you're going to be able to win with the schemes, but you're never going to be able to beat the great teams without great culture.
Mike, always great talking to you, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, Mike. Take care.
That was our radio.com sports NFL insider, Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more about Indeed.com/credit. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available at radio.com. A few years ago, we were having the same exact conversation with Mike. I remember it vividly. It was this time of year.
What did he say about Darnold? Do we remember?
No, not about Darnold. I don't mean that. What I mean was you asked him, all right, Bowles is going to be gone. Who should they hire? And the name he brought up very prominently was Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
And that was years ago. And I remember that was our first real discussion about Matt Rhule's candidate.
I mean, look, again, it's only seven games. They are 3-4, and they are competitive, so I will say that.
Well, the jury's still out.
I'm not saying
look, he was so right. I'm just saying that was the guy he mentioned. And so far, the early returns on it are very good.
And who's he saying from Iowa State? Matt Campbell? That's the guy he's touting here?
He mentioned Matt Campbell. He mentioned
Dabo Sweeney.
Getting Dabo to make the jump.
Hey, you know what? That wouldn't be the worst if I got Trevor there, right? You got to think that would be okay. I mean, again, I just worry if you know me. I worry about these college coaches.
No, I really get it. I totally understand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.